This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
And we are live on Facebook on Augusta Free Press. And for our podcast listeners out there, thank you for joining us as well. Chris Graham and Rod Mullins. Hey, Rod, thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
And we got some news coming up towards the end of the podcast about the race coming up in Bristol in a few weeks. We'll save that. Let's go back to Homestead this past weekend. William Byron getting the surprise win. I say surprise win. Probably a surprise, considering the circumstances going into that. Take us into William Byron and what he was able to do this past weekend.
I don't think a lot of people expected William Byron to be a contender for this race. You know, they kind of thought last year maybe a flash in the pan, so to speak, with a, you know, a win or two out of the season and so forth. And so I think a lot of people were expecting probably one of the more established drivers, Kevin Harvick or somebody, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, somebody to pull off the win at Homestead this past weekend. But William Byron actually just he played all of his cards right, and he had some help from one of Kyle Busch's former crew chiefs, if you want to call it that. Kyle Busch Motorsports crew chief, Rudy Fugel. He came over to Hendrick Motorsports last year, and I think that's helped him tremendously. And I'm talking about William Byron. It helped him tremendously get ready for this race. Not saying that Chad Knaus was that bad of a crew chief, so to speak. I mean, he had, you know, piloted Jimmy Johnson to all those championships over the years, but you know, there just something wasn't clicking there with Chad Knaus and William Byron. And I think it was starting to show toward the end of the year. Last year, they picked up a win, but then, you know, everybody kind of was like, eh, now let's see what he's got. Let's see if he's got enough to make it for next year. And, you know, some changes, they move Knaus up into competition and Rudy Fugel comes in and he did a fantastic job, I think, more than anything else. And they attribute that to familiarity with each other. And that helped a tremendous amount in this race, especially on Sunday, pulling off this win at Homestead.
What is going on with Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin? Seems like, we've been talking about some intra-team feuds the last few weeks, but this one seems to be heating up.
Well, this is one of those things, and I don't know if it's the competition thing that you kind of got with Joe Gibbs Racing. We talked about this last week a little bit with Kyle Busch and then Adam Stevens leaving and so forth. But, you know, this coming or this past race at Homestead, it was the stage two, coming up on the stage two, the finish of the stage two race. And out of the blue, Denny Hamlin just pulls in front, cuts Martin Truex off and blocks him is what he ends up doing. And Martin Truex was none too happy about it at the course of the race. He started cussing him on the radio and it was, "What the F, Denny, you know, what kind of move was that?" And his crew chief, James Small, Martin Truex's crew chief, said, "Yeah, nice teammate there." You know, they were a little bit more direct about it and they kind of said, "Well, it's okay. Just note it. We'll jot it down and we know how to race him from here on out." But, Denny Hamlin was not, I guess he wasn't very apologetic about it whatsoever. He kind of half-heartedly said, "You know, I'm not too happy about this. You know, if this is the way they want to be, you know, I pinched my teammate. So what? That's the way it works." So that's what ended up happening. And I think this feud is starting to build a little bit more. Will it be a feud that kind of says goodbye to Denny Hamlin before it's over with from Joe Gibbs Racing, for Joe Gibbs to say goodbye to him and then Denny Hamlin make his move over into 2311 sports or racing team? That'll remain to be seen.
Another storyline coming out of Homestead is just it's more the first three races of the season storyline, the February portion of our schedule storyline. Parity, three races, three winners. This makes for an interesting NASCAR season if this kind of trend continues.
Yeah, I think this is something that I've wanted for a long, long time. We've had the big winners, and you know, you and I have been talking about this, what, 3-4 years now here on the podcast, and we've been talking about the big guys always winning. And I said sooner or later, I thought something was going to happen to where there was going to be some kind of a little bit more of an even matchup, so to speak. And we're moving toward that with that new car, that next generation car that'll happen next year. But I think these teams are starting to get on the same page in a lot of these setups and a lot of these cars, and it's kind of helping these teams make their progression over to that next generation car for next season. But you know, you've got these drivers. You got Michael McDowell, who, you know, just smoked everybody, came out of nowhere, won that race. And then you have, lo and behold, you have someone else the second week, and then you have William Byron coming up this week. You know, three different winners. I mean, it's been incredible once you look at it, and it's just a tremendous, compliment to the parity situation that NASCAR's been trying to promote for a long, long time now. And, you know, you've had a lot of detractors out there saying, well, it favors more of the big multi-team, so to speak. Well, this is kind of going in favor of the single car or two car teams that they've got out there on the circuit. So it's making a difference. I think parity is making a big difference, going to make an even bigger difference next year with that next generation car.
It makes it more exciting for the fans, mm-hmm. too. You mentioned that. I mean, if you don't know who's going to be in the top five every race going in, you're more likely to stick around.
Right.
So it's got to be good for the sport.
Yeah.
Another news item, kind of getting away from last week's race, maybe a little bit. Take us through Goodyear tire testing at Circuit of the Americas. Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex Jr., others. Talk about that and what we can kind of learn from that.
Well, learning more than anything else is what kind of surface Circuit of the Americas has for them to be able to conduct that road course race that they're going to have here coming up a little bit later in the season. First time they're going to be racing there. Goodyear's trying to get an idea of what kind of rubber compound or what kind of tire compound they're going to have on that tire that'll be more effective for them given that kind of race when it comes up. You know, they're going to probably be fooling with a setup that's going to have to deal with the rain tires just in case something like this happens. But they're trying to determine right now what sort of tire will stick, you know, how it's going to last. It's going to have to take a rough punishment on that Circuit of the Americas course. And so they're testing right now to see if they've got the right compound going into that race. And also it kind of gives them some ideas when they go back to a Daytona, for example, if they have to go back to a Daytona road course, if they go to Charlotte for the Roval, Watkins Glen, if they do race at Watkins Glen this year, or if they race at, you know, Sonoma, these are going to be the things that answers a lot of questions for them.
We normally wrap our show talking about next week's race, but let's go ahead and preview Vegas now because we want to talk about Bristol. So take us to Vegas and what we may be looking for this coming weekend.
Vegas, we might be looking at more parity this weekend. I know that there will be some people that say, let's give a little bit of the edge to the Busch brothers because they're from Vegas and they know that track really well. They've raced on that track. But we could see another first-time winner, or we could see one that really hasn't won in quite a while in the winner's circle coming up on Sunday. And Las Vegas is always a very rough course for them. It's one of those cookie-cutter-like tracks, so to speak. It's that mile and a half. But it'll be some interesting racing, I'm sure, coming up on Sunday. And, you know, a lot of these guys are starting to feel the pressure now. Some of these more established teams, you still got Kevin Harvick out there looking for a win. Kevin Harvick had a lot of momentum going into the last part of the season before, you know, that kind of letdown happened right before as they got into the chase. And then you've got Chase Elliott, who's wanting to at least make a name for himself again. He's not had as good a success this time around at the start of the season as he has before in some other races. So this is a big one coming up for this weekend. We might see some more parity, like I said, a little bit more of a balance in there, and we can find out who's going to actually pull something off and maybe pull off a first-time win.
Now, we're still a ways away from Bristol, but you had a chance. There was a news conference today talking about what Bristol has in store coming up in a few weeks. What did you learn? And, you know, I guess there's some changes as to at least what we thought we would get coming into that race weekend.
Well, this is official from NASCAR. This afternoon, they met at Bristol Motor Speedway. It was a Zoom conference call was what it was. And they announced Jerry Caldwell, and then you had some of the other people with NASCAR talking about how they're going to conduct this race. I mean, last year when they, you know, in the pandemic and they had the All-Star race and they had the race come up in September, they had the little V there painted right pretty close to the start finish line there at Bristol. And that was the one that made everybody make the commitment. You know, are you going to take the high side? Or are you going to take the low side? Are you going to take the upper lane, the lower lane, however you wanted to call it? They're not going to have that because it's going to be on dirt. They've trucked all this dirt and all this clay in. They've got it packed down now. They're working on it, and they've got it pretty much. They've had some tests this past week. Last week, they even had some tests before the rain and everything moved in here, and they were racing into the wee hours of the morning just trying to figure out how this track is going to work. And a lot of the dirt track drivers had came from different tracks from around the southeast, and one Volunteer Speedway, which is down the road on I-81 down at Bull's Gap, and you got the 411 Speedway. You got some of these people that have raced these kind of dirt tracks before, and they've been able to go and kind of tell Bristol, this is what you need to add, this is what you need to take away. Well, NASCAR announced this afternoon that what they're going to be doing with the format of this dirt race, which will be starting at 3:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday, they're going to start with a heat race starting lineup. They're going to have a random draw that'll determine the heat race designation, starting position for the heat race, and the draw will be in the order of the current owner points. So that's pretty much self-explanatory. But then they're going to have qualifying heat races. This is going to be like a dirt race, sort of like the old dirt track races that you've seen before. Four qualifying races held at 15 laps each, with only green flag laps counted. So no cautions will be counted out of this, and there's no overtime rule. It's going to be a mad dash to the finish on these qualifying heat races. There'll be a free pass, and a wave around procedure will be in effect. They're going to have passing points. Drivers will accumulate points in the heat races based on finishing position and passing points. And the difference between assigned starting position and finishing position will also figure into that. Go forward, you'll accumulate passing points. You go backwards or finish where you started, you get zero. That's simple enough. And then you have a tiebreaker on the owner's points. And the way that everything is going to break down here, this is it. The feature, the lineup will be based on combined points of the heat race, finish position, and passing points. And the feature race will be just 250 laps. Now, for the truck series race, that's going to end up being just 150 laps, but that'll be divided into three stages. For the Cup Series, it'll be 75, 150, and then, of course, you'll finish at 250. For the truck race, 40, 90, and then finally finishing on lap 150. So a lot of things to kind of take into effect. The overtime rules, free pass, and wave around procedures will be in effect for the dirt race, and that's on that Sunday, and also that Saturday race for that truck series. But when it comes to those heat races, nah, overtime, there's not going to be any such thing. This is going to be a mad dash to try to determine who's going to get position and everything when Bristol comes up. And here's the thing, Chris, coming up before we get to Bristol and the dirt race, the Food City dirt race, there's going to be a week's worth of dirt track racing at Bristol from the 15th on through the 20th as they get set for the next week of racing. Kyle Busch has already committed. He's going to be in the dirt race. Kyle Larson is also going to participate. Austin Dillon is going to participate. Why would you ask that they're participating so early? Because they're going to get some experience on this track, and they're going to have a heads up on a lot of the other drivers who may say, "Matt, it's just dirt, no big deal there." But there's a big deal when it comes to racing on dirt, and especially on the high banks at Bristol.
I'm thinking that there's going to be some funnel cake sold that weekend.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of stuff sold that weekend.
I'm just thinking of my days going to the dirt track here in the Waynesboro area. Funnel cakes, some greasy fries on paper plates. You know, the coolers will be full. It's a throwback, and it's awesome that NASCAR is doing this. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know how many of the guys, certainly the guys with Southern racing experience, we know that they've run at least a few laps in their lifetime on dirt, but you wonder about the guys coming from elsewhere, and it's going to be different for them if they're not out there and have some laps before they get out there for the big race.
Well, you know, interesting fact here. You know, who was the winner of the last dirt track race?
I don't even know how long ago it was. I think
1970.
Uh huh. That's before I was born. So that tells you how long ago it's over 50 years since NASCAR's had a dirt race. Who was that last winner?
Richard Petty.
that makes sense.
he will be the last person to ever win a dirt track race, you know, at least of that old era. This will be starting over with the new era, so to speak. And so you're going to have somebody brand new that's going to be carrying on the torch, so to speak, for the dirt tracks. So we'll see what happens.
What is your sense from the drivers? What is their, how are they looking forward to this coming up?
I think a lot of them are anxious. They're anxious. They're really wanting to get back to, I think some of them want to get back to some of that grassroots racing style of what they've had, or maybe what some of them have been brought up on. I've never raced or anything. I've been to a dirt race before. I was out at at Bristol the first time when they put dirt and clay down for the World of Outlaws. And I'm going to tell you, I had a whale of a time. There's a reason why they call Sammy Swindell slinging Sammy Swindell, because I mean, he is actually slinging that car all the way around the turns. And we're not talking the car stays in line as you're going around the turns, and especially at Bristol, this car, the front wheels are planted and then everything else is going in back. I mean, the rear end is coming all the way back on you, and you've got to have control of that car. And you know, I'm sure there's some of the older drivers that's probably saying, maybe a Darrell Waltrip out there, maybe even a Tony Stewart, that say, you know, I'd love to be in a race like this, but you know, it's a very grueling affair. And that's the reason why they've cut it down, I think, to 250 laps. 500 laps on Bristol, especially on dirt, is going to be rough. And so 250 is a little bit more feasible, so to speak, but it's still going to be tough on the drivers.
Yeah, they're going to be exhausted when it's over. I mean, it's exhausting enough to, you know, to ride around on a normal day, as you mentioned. It's going to be like wrestling this car for 250 laps, and wrestling their car and 40 others or whatever the case may be. Yeah, it's going to be a grueling day for those guys out there, no doubt.
I know a lot of the fans are talking. They hope that more than anything else, the track will hold some moisture in it. And if you know what I'm talking about here when I say the track holding moisture, you know, they don't want it to be, you know, a dust bowl. They don't want to be sitting there in the stands and then trying to see all the action through all the dust that's coming up. And, you know, in the World of Outlaws, they kind of dampen the track down a little bit to keep that dust and everything. But, you know, that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping that this will be dampened a little bit out of it. It's going to make it interesting. It'll make it slicker. That'll be one thing for sure. But we'll see some great racing, I think, when the dirt race comes to Bristol Motor Speedway.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about it as the next few weeks roll on. Of course, you'll be covering the race for us. So I look forward to that as well. Well, Rod, thank you for your time today. As always, we'll talk to you again next week.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.